Fans, this week I was out at River Islands to see everyone out there and saw Susan Deloso and Brittany Heiss and all my good friends at River Islands. And I want to tell you, I was just amazed at the progress they've made, the neighborhoods, the landscaping, the baseball field, the soccer field, the fire station, the boathouse restaurant. Things are just outstanding. I was just so impressed at River Islands, and I want to thank everyone for hosting me on Thursday out there, and especially Brittany and all that she does, and the wonderful people that work out there. Every one of them couldn't have been more inviting to me, and of course the professor Ron Wotus. They just really enjoy the show. So we'll talk more about River Islands, but I did want to acknowledge everybody. And Susan, an amazing person. Really, the chief developer of River Islands, and of course Deloso Farms, very famous right next to River Islands there in Lathrop, and just couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been nicer to show me the whole layout of River Islands. So, Susan, thank you so much. All right, with that in mind, on this Father's Day weekend, we go to Colorado and bring in a good friend. He's been on the show many times. And that is Thomas Harding, who covers the Rockies for MLB.com. Thomas, a happy Father's Day weekend to you.
Hey, thanks for having me on Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit, maybe a Father's Day story for you, even growing up for you, and maybe what Father's Day means to you.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, my dad was a policeman in my hometown for over 30 years, just a great man. And it's funny, I do have a funny baseball memory of him. I have a couple, actually. So I'm playing for a team that isn't very good, and I decide that the coaches aren't very good, and they weren't. But I was probably going a bit too far with it. So I decided that I was going to have the green light every time I was on base. And I kept stealing bases, and the coach was seething about it because he wasn't giving me a steal sign. Well, the first time I got thrown out, I go to the bench to get my glove. It was the third out of the inning. And the coach just snidely says, "Way to go, major leaguer," to which I say, raising my hands, "I've got the green light," and I go out to my field, and I go out to my position, second base. End of the inning comes, and I'm sitting on the bench, and my dad is right over my shoulders, and he does not look like he's very pleased with me. So he says to me, he goes, "Don't ever, ever show up your coach like that." Then he leans in and goes, "No matter how stupid he is, don't ever show up your coach like that."
Good lesson.
And I remember, yeah, I remember one day I think I tried to be too fancy with a ground ball. So when I got home, he's like, "Let me show you how to field ground balls, because obviously no one's teaching you." And he fields a bunch of ground balls, and I think he thinks he's getting on me. But I'm sitting there thinking, wow, my dad is really good. So those are a couple of baseball memories of my father.
I love it. And I've said on the show many times, and we celebrate Father's Day, but it could be an uncle, it could be a brother, it could be a cousin, it could be a nephew, it could just be a family friend or a neighbor, someone who steps up in the family. Yeah. And it could be a grandma or an aunt who does it, becomes the mother and the father of a family. So we acknowledge everybody who takes that time to mold young people. And we appreciate the story, Thomas. Thank you. Hey,
thanks for giving me the chance.
We love having you on. You know that. All right, let's talk a little ball. It is Saturday. Every Saturday I say by next Saturday we'll know what's going on. What is going on here with baseball? How do you feel about it?
Well, I think from watching this, there is this argument between the players and the owners, and it's going on and on, almost to the point of getting to be ridiculous. It seems like the season is going to be incredibly short, but what I've said all along is these are mice and men trying to make plans. The virus looks like it's going to make the plan for us, and it was pretty scary this week. Now, I remember talking to someone with the Rockies saying, why is any player in Arizona or Florida? I know they can't really control their whereabouts because there isn't a season right now. But if I trained in either of those states, I would be doing anything possible to try to get my players out of there, because those are two of the worst states as far as the public handling of this crisis. I mean, it's a virus, and it's going to surge in different places, but certainly when you're making no attempt to put it under control, then I don't see how you could possibly get anything accomplished. And that's exactly what's happened in Arizona and Florida. I know that a number of Rockies have been here in Denver for quite a while. Now, there are a number of Rockies players who live in Arizona. They tend to move there during their minor league careers. And I know a lot of the Latin American players live there for winter training. But if I'm any team in the major leagues, I'm like, get my players out of Arizona and Florida. Now, there are a couple of teams that are going to struggle with that. Obviously, the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays, because travel to Canada is restricted. So where are those players going to go? But as much as possible, I don't want my players in those two states, because it's not just at the facility. They can clean the facilities all they want. But if the public isn't paying attention to any kind of measure to at least slow this down and make sure that the hospitals aren't full of people, then it's a losing proposition.
Mm. Well, I have to see how baseball handles it. You know, there's a lot of legal issues involved. And if they have to go back, the only guideline is really March 26th, that the agreement that they made, if there is no baseball after that, they do have an agreement on what can happen health-wise. So we'll see where it goes. But, boy, interesting. What do you think about games without fans and putting a runner on second base and tie games and all the things they're talking about?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the tie games idea. Or putting a runner on second base. But let's face it, they're trying to condense a season. I personally believe that if we had gotten a season above 70 games, maybe we wouldn't be talking about this. I would rather have a number of doubleheaders that are seven innings scheduled, and then you play normal baseball after that. I'm not crazy about tie games, but I will say this, though. At the minor league level, they need tie games, because if that is for development – and you have a 17, 18-inning game, and it not only ruins that club's roster, but all the rosters below it just to get players there. I mean, I see a lot of cases, and I used to cover AAA, where somebody who didn't make a Class A team, but he happens to be on schedule, ends up in a AAA ballgame. I would like to see ties in the minor leagues. I'm not crazy about it at the major leagues, but let's face it, whatever happens is not going to be ideal. Now, I'll tell you about the lack of fans. I've watched a lot of soccer because that seems to be going on right now. And I don't have a huge problem with no fans, because they're able – now, it's tough for the players in the beginning, but let's face it, it's a competitive game and they're professionals. I don't mind the networks, and I wouldn't mind radio and TV networks using canned crowd noise during those, because – when you're watching a baseball game at home, like when I'm covering it, I'm into every pitch. But when you're watching a game at home, you're usually doing something else. There's something going on with your family, whatever, and you're in and out. If you're cooking, you're not burning the roast, so you're not totally concentrated on the game. The fan noise tells you what's happening during the game. It's part of the story. So I would not mind radio or television. You actually have fan noise.
Well, the Rockies don't need any help with the DH, but they're going to get a DH. How about that?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, though, I used to say, hey, traditional baseball, let's stick with the National League rules in the National League. But you look at all levels of baseball, all the way from the littlest little league to through college, and also throughout the minors, everything in baseball uses a designated hitter except for the National League. So they're the ones who are out of step right now. And here's where it could help, is when you are setting your roster and say you're involved in free agency, you have that ninth position, that ninth batter, and I think it helps you build a better team. I've watched the National League really struggle in interleague play and the World Series. And I think that if your goal is to win a World Series, let's not hamstring the National League anymore.
Boy, interesting. All right. Well, we'll see. The Rockies don't need any help. Let's put it this way. They can score enough runs, at least at home. So it's going to make Denver baseball a lot more interesting. Let me ask you this, Thomas, on a more serious note. Black Lives Matter. How do you think this is going to impact baseball when we finally do get back on the field?
I don't know, because right now I would like to see more black players in baseball, and that's a systemic thing all the way down to the youth levels, because we have taken the sport that you played in the schoolyard or in the street. I remember playing straight base, meaning you didn't have the width, so you had what first base and home, and you did it that way. We have taken that, and we've created so many avenues for batting cages and private coaching that we have turned baseball into a country club sport. And I know MLB has worked hard at that with the RBI program and some of the urban youth academies. I wish there were more of them. We've got to find a way to get more black players on the field and black players in the stands. But if you don't get them on the field at the youth level, you don't get them in the stands. Now, these issues that are going on are way bigger than baseball. And I like that some baseball players have said, hey, listen, when I take off my uniform, I'm still a human being. And it has been white players and black players who have stepped up and at least said something and said, what tends to go on in some of these law enforcement situations really needs to be changed. Nobody's saying get completely rid of the police or anything like that. But if you see enough incidents and you look at the rates of deaths and especially unarmed deaths and also the situations where police are involved, maybe where someone who's showing up armed, where maybe it could be handled another way. I'm not saying it's easy, but we've got to find a way to change the way that to change these exchanges here, because too many of them are ending up in unnecessary deaths. And I'm sorry, but as a human being, I cannot sign off on that and say it's a good thing. And I know my dad was a policeman, but I know that also, there's some fairness in police work, and I think that he would agree if he were still around.
Well said. Well said. You think we'll see more demonstrative action from players, such as the Colin Kaepernick kneeling down or something like that?
You know, I'm not sure. It seems that baseball, and I guess you look at the history of the national anthem, and there are some people, I think it's kind of taken it a bit far, that when they set the poem by Francis Scott Key to music, a lot of people will point out that baseball was integral in that. I think there were a couple of parades, but also it immediately went to baseball. But it would be a great thing for players to do, to say, hey, we are uniform, we're wearing a uniform, but at some point we've got to change this. Whether there's a symbolic gesture on the field or whether it's with money or backing certain bills, as long as there is actual action, I'm fine with it. For example, my feeling on Colin Kaepernick is not only did he kneel during the national anthem, but not only did he give up his career, mm-hmm. but it looks like he is putting money and effort behind defense for people that may be unfairly accused. I'm all for that.
Mm. Boy, great to have you on, Thomas. Always a pleasure. You know that. And, We'll hope that we've got some baseball to talk about in a few weeks, but we'll keep in touch with you over the summer here. It is the first day of summer today, and we wish you well, be healthy, and you have a good heart for baseball and a good heart for life, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Wouldn't it be great to be talking about baseball? I mean,
the Rockies got a hitter. Didn't they draft a kid, a hitter?
Yeah, a couple of high school players at the top of the draft and also a couple of pitchers, and it looks like they're trying to build this group of guys that can show up a little bit later and kind of all together to keep the team going in the future. But, yeah, I mean, beautiful weekend here in Denver, but it's almost like I'm not sure it's summer because there isn't baseball, so we would love to see the guys on the field.
All right, Thomas, thanks so much. Be well.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is Thomas Harding of MLB.com. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5. I like that. Thomas is a good man. 104.5, the sports leader.